Off the Ball, GAA.
The line to us, telling us that we would have a pitch, and then the line to us about saying that they'd line it out and to try and keep us there. They try to keep us there on the false pretenses, like, and you'd be very disappointed in that. Like.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Ireland prepare to take on Poland in their World Cup qualifier. Leeds end a 45-year wait for a league win at Old Trafford to ease their relegation fears. And Liverpool will need another famous European night at Anfield to topple holders PSG in the Champions League. But first to events in Gdansk, where Ireland are gearing up to take on Poland in the World Cup qualifiers. Ireland are already guaranteed a playoff for next year's World Cup in Brazil, but a third place finish in the group would mean an easier route via the playoffs. So this week's doubleheader against Poland is crucial. The first part is this evening in Gdansk. It's the same stadium where Ireland lost heavily to Spain at Euro 2012. Carlo Ward's side are aiming to get off the mark in Group B after 2-1 losses against both France and the Netherlands in their opening two games. Poland have a point after a draw at home to the Dutch in their opening group game. Their star player is Barcelona striker Eva Pyor. Carla Ward knows just how important these two games are, and she was impressed by Poland at the Euros last summer.
We love that underdog mentality. We love the attitude of, you know, I don't think anybody gives us a chance. And I remind the players of that, you know, there's not many people around the world that maybe give us a chance apart from us within. We have a belief, we have an energy, we have a togetherness that can certainly push and drive us forward. And I think, you know, the nation can see that as well, you know, and I think that what the girls are starting to produce is something to be proud of. Every single game is important. Of course, these two games, we want to get points, but we want to get points from Netherlands and France in the final two as well. So we have to continue to work hard. Poland are a very good side. They've shown that. I've been really impressed with them. I was impressed with them in the Euros, but the way they played, particularly against the Netherlands, I think they've got a lot of threats. They've got one of the best players in the world in Pyor, and so we know what we're up against. But look, we want to take points as quickly as possible.
Our man Ben Symes is in Gdansk. He was on this morning's Off the Ball breakfast and spoke about the importance of this match for Carla Ward's side after the missed opportunities of the last window.
This really is the game that Carla Ward would have, I suppose, pinpointed for this campaign. Obviously, the win over Belgium got us up to League A, which has, in essence, guaranteed us a playoff for the World Cup. Poland, there's only three places separating these two sides on the world rankings. Like, the Netherlands and France are by far the two teams at the top of this group. The problem really is that Poland picked up a result here against the Netherlands. They actually have an excellent record in Gdansk. They basically made an agreement with the city, the Polish FA, to move the women's games to Gdansk about 3 years ago, and they're unbeaten since they've done that here. It's 9 games, 7 wins and 2 draws. Both of those draws actually came against the Netherlands. So it's going to be a lot tougher test than I think people might really expect, but it is the essence of a must-not-lose game. You cannot afford to lose this game. You have to get a draw at least and come back to the Aviva Stadium on Saturday and beat them there. That's basically the message for the team.
And Ben will be on commentary duty for us later. You can hear live commentary on OTB Sports Radio and the Go Loud app from 5 o'clock as the girls in green look to pick up their first win of the campaign. We'll also have all the reaction with Shelburne captain Pearl Slattery and Off the Ball from 7 o'clock. Also on this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, Ireland international Harvey Vail told the story of how he got his first call up to Heimir Hallgrímsson's squad for the games against Czech Republic and North Macedonia last month.
Have you got used to hearing yourself described as a Republic of Ireland international just yet?
Yeah, I am now. I am now. I feel at home now.
Can you talk to us a bit about how it all came about and where that whole part of your journey began? When did you realise you were qualified?
I knew when I was really young, growing up, really. My granddad's obviously Irish, and he used to speak about Ireland all the time and that. And I think it was around COVID time. I was probably maybe 16 or 17. I applied for my citizenship. Took me about, say, probably 18 months, maybe 2 years to get it. And then I eventually got it and then joined QPR and then started speaking to the Ireland manager. And yeah, it sort of went from there, really.
Tell us a bit about your grandfather. Where exactly is he from? Because different parts of Kerry are claiming him. It's it might be Sneem, it might be Kenmare. Can you confirm or deny?
Yeah, I think he said he was born in Kenmare, and grew up in Sneem, so he can claim a bit of both of him, yeah.
Fair enough. And would he have been advocating when you were kids, listen, you know, if you ever make it as a footballer, you could come and play for us, because we've got many famous past players who have qualified under the grandparentage rule.
Yeah, 100%. I think every time I saw him, he mentioned it probably. So yeah, he's super proud, yeah.
And then the conversation starts. So Glenn Whelan also, I think, at some point. Were you at Bristol when Glenn Whelan was there? Was he mentioning it to you?
Yeah, Bristol Rovers, yeah. Yeah, I had quite a few conversations with him about it. He was the same. He was always telling me, like, it's a great opportunity for me. And I didn't have my citizenship at the time, I don't think. But that's sort of when the ball started rolling, I guess, around that time.
And then at QPR, by this stage, you have your passport. Is it Jimmy Dunn winding you up saying, come on? Or is it the fact that Hamer arrives and starts talking to Jimmy Dunn one day? How does that work?
Yeah, 100%. A bit of both, probably. I think Jim, when I signed, probably put a good word in for me. But when I signed here, I was injured for the whole second half of the season. And then I spoke to the gaffer sort of start of the season, and he was saying he'll be watching me and everything. And he obviously thinks my performances warranted a call up. So Jim was like a proud dad, I think.
You can hear more from the QPR player in your OTB football podcast feeds. Liverpool boss Arne Slot says playing the holders in tonight's Champions League quarterfinal makes their task more difficult, but not impossible. His team will have to overturn a 2-0 first leg deficit in the second leg at Anfield, where PSG won on penalties last season in the last 16 of the competition. Slot says they've shown they can raise their game in front of their own fans many times during his time at charge. And he says Liverpool's tactical approach won't be too different from last week's first leg. Slot was criticised for going with a back three in Paris, and his side had to defend deep.
People find it probably very hard to believe what I'm going to say now, but the approach is not so different than it was in Paris, because for the people who know me, I never put out a team and tell them to go to a low block for 90 minutes. Actually, if you're really looking the game back, you could see that we've pressed them high on multiple occasions. Unfortunately, 7 or 8 of those moments led to them being one-on-one to our goalkeeper. So, again, the approach will be take the risk, because that's, first of all, what we need. But to get the ball off them, yeah, you need to press them.
Dominic Szoboszlai was the Liverpool player on media duty yesterday. He was asked to explain his actions at the full-time whistle after Liverpool lost to Manchester City 4-0 in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. It didn't go down well with the Liverpool fans that day.
There was a misunderstanding between me and the fans. I didn't mean it in a bad way. Obviously, I know what the fans mean for this club and what this club means for the fans as well. As a player, we know we do everything for them as well as we do for us. So if it was a misunderstanding, then I apologize. But they can feel also that I'm not feeling better than them. I'm feeling exactly the same way like they do. And to make it clear that I'm with them and we are with them. And I think hopefully they are with us as well.
Tonight's game at Anfield kicks off at 8 o'clock. At the same time, Atletico Madrid will resume 2-0 up at home to Barcelona. Leeds are 6 points clear of the relegation zone in the Premier League with 6 games to play. Daniel Farke's side won 2-1 away to Manchester United to get a first league win at Old Trafford since 1981. Noah Okafor scored twice in the first half an hour for Leeds. Casemiro pulled one back for United in the second half, and that came after Lisandro Martinez had been sent off for pulling the hair of Dominic Calvert-Lewin. United boss Michael Carrick felt it was a harsh red card.
It's not aggressive. There's no jolt. There's no tug. There's no sudden movement. He kind of touches it and glances through it, and just got to be careful where the game's going if we give him red cards for that.
Leeds boss Daniel Farke says their first league win at Old Trafford in 45 years shows they're up for the fight of staying in the Premier League. Leeds play Wolves and Burnley at Elland Road in their next 2 home games. Farke is delighted with the mentality of his players.
We work a little bit on to get rid of this old narrative, and you know, Leeds are falling apart again, that we always crumble when it really counts. It feels like when it really matters, we deliver.
That result at Old Trafford wasn't good news for Tottenham, who play Leeds next month, and in a further blow to Spurs and new manager Roberto De Zerbi. Christian Romero is set to miss the rest of the season with the knee injury that he sustained in Sunday's 1-0 loss away to Sunderland. The Argentina defender was in tears as he came off after a collision with goalkeeper Antonin Kinski. The Spurs captain is now expected to miss up to 8 weeks with a high-grade partial tear of his medial cruciate ligament. His chances of playing at the World Cup as well this summer are left hanging in the balance. Meanwhile, Tottenham are in advance talks over a free transfer for Liverpool defender Andy Robertson this summer. The Scotland captain confirmed last week he'll leave Anfield after 9 years when his contract expires in the summer. Spurs were close to signing Robertson in January. Liverpool wouldn't let him leave, though. Obviously, it would depend on Spurs being in the Premier League next season. Declan Rice wasn't present with the Arsenal squad when they trained earlier today before their Champions League quarterfinal second leg at home to Sporting tomorrow. That doesn't mean he's ruled out of the last eight clash, but it is a concern given Arsenal's massive week in their season. Jurrien Timber, Bukayo Saka, Martin Odegaard and Ricardo Calafiori were also missing from the open training session. After tomorrow is the small matter of their Premier League clash with Manchester City on Sunday, a game you can hear on Off the Ball on News Talk. It's a 4:30 kickoff. We'll also have the first ever Merseyside derby at the Hill Dickinson, which starts at 2:00. Former Ireland international Keith Tracy was on the football show last night with Owen Sheehan. The lads talked about Sunday's game at the Etihad and what it could mean for the title and the future of Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta.
Arsenal are still in a brilliant position. If they can somehow beat Manchester City on Sunday, the narrative changes very, very quickly. So although I'm on the doom and gloom bus like every other Arsenal fan, it can change very quickly, and we're in a defining part of the season. And I don't want to be like the, you know, the fella at the Oscars that says, oh, it's great just to be nominated, but I think it's brilliant just to be in the mixer here and have something to fight for. It's, you know, it could be an awful lot worse.
Surely this Arsenal team is beyond being in the mixer given the way this whole season has gone. That'll be no consolation. That probably won't even be enough. We're talking Mikel Arteta's job is on the line if Arsenal come away with no trophies this season.
I understand that that will be a talking point and people will go, oh, Arteta needs to leave now. But all indicators are that Arsenal are moving in the right direction. Even if they're trophyless this season, all indicators are moving that Arsenal are a difficult team. They're the best defensive in the league. They're not far off. I think City just went past them in terms of goals scored on the weekend. I know from open play, Arsenal have been a little bit lacklustre. But in terms of defensively, in terms of midfield, set pieces, there's still an awful lot of pros, and I don't think it's as black and white as, oh, Arsenal have one at and that's it, throw the toys out of pram, get rid of the manager, this is not good enough. Manchester City haven't been at their best this season, but they're still very, very difficult to go and beat over a 38-game season.
And you can hear that chat in full in your OTB football podcast feed. Former Manchester United assistant manager Carlos Queiroz has been appointed as Ghana's manager for the upcoming World Cup. 73-year-old Portuguese has replaced Otto Addo, who was sacked 2 weeks ago after friendly losses to Germany and Austria. Ghana are in the same World Cup group as England, Croatia and Panama. He was most recently in charge of Oman, but left that role when they failed to qualify for the World Cup. He reached the last 16 at the 2010 World Cup of Portugal. He's also coached Iran at the last three World Cups. He's been in charge of Egypt, Japan, Colombia and South Africa as well. And former Chelsea and Arsenal midfielder Jorginho's downplayed claims linking Chaperone to a hotel confrontation in Sao Paulo involving a security guard and his 11-year-old stepdaughter. He's labelled the incident as a misunderstanding. Last month, the Flamengo midfielder posted on Instagram alleging that a security guard working for Chaperone had confronted his daughter and wife after the child recognised the singer at breakfast. In a follow-up Instagram story yesterday, Jorginho clarified the singer had reached out privately to his wife and his team as well. Don't forget, you can hear live commentary of Ireland's World Cup qualifier away to Poland on OTB Sports Radio on the Go Loud app at 5:00. Ben Symes will call the action from Gdansk. We'll also have live commentary of Ireland and Poland from the Aviva at 3:00 this Saturday in the reverse fixture. Stephen Doyle will be joined in the commentary box by former Ireland international Louise Quinn. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.